Hi, I'm Andrea Loyan, Vermont Edition producer, and I just wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening, and enjoy.
If you're accused of a crime or a victim of one, it could take months or even years for your case to be resolved. That's because Vermont's judiciary system is mired in a backlog. There are about 15,000 unresolved criminal cases in the state. Chittenden County has the state's busiest docket, with about 3,000 unresolved cases. Vermont Public reporter Liam Elder Connors and his counterpart at 7 Days, Derek Brower, spent 5 days inside the downtown Burlington courthouse, attending hearings and interviewing participants. Their story came out last week on both news outlets. It's called Trials and Tribulations: A Week Inside Vermont's Busiest Courthouse Reveals a Judicial System Plagued by Delays. And they're here with us today to tell us about their reporting. Derek Brower, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. Glad to be here.
And thanks, Liam, for being here as well.
You bet.
So your story allows us to peer into the judicial system and understand the causes of the massive case backlog in the state. Liam, can you describe the scope of this backlog for us?
Sure. There are currently more than 15,000 cases pending in Vermont's criminal court system. That's actually down about 17% since January 2022. So it was even higher just 2 years ago. Another sort of important thing to understand the scope of the backlog is that more than a third of those pending cases statewide are beyond what's called the disposition guidelines. And those are timeframes that are set by the judiciary that say a case should take, you know, a certain number of days to be resolved. And so a third of Vermont cases are beyond the guidelines from when the judiciary says they should be resolved. So there are just cases that are languishing, which isn't good for the court systems. It's not good for the defendants, and it's certainly not good for the victims who are involved in those situations.
And how long has this backlog been going on? Was it exacerbated by the pandemic?
Yeah, there was a backlog before COVID-19, but the pandemic really made things a lot worse. A big thing that happened was there were no jury trials for at least a year, and in some places 2 years there weren't jury trials going on, and that's due to the pandemic rules that the court system had, which shut down jury trials, and also there were a number of restrictions that made it harder even when jury trials were able to resume. Some courts couldn't hold jury trials because of social distancing rules and HVAC issues and other things that the judiciary had in place. In fact, in Orleans County, the Washington Post spotlighted that they didn't have any trials there for 2 years. And that was an example of how courts were disrupted around the country. And the Washington Post pointed to Orleans County as an extreme example of this.
Wow, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to figure out what exactly was going on here, the two of you spent a week in a courthouse in Burlington. Derek, why did you decide on that approach? And why co-report the story?
Yeah, you know, I think we really wanted to go beyond the headlines with this story. I mean, so much of what I think people understand about how our court system works is revolves around the few high-profile cases that make the news or an arrest that makes the news. But then news outlets tend to not follow those cases as they go through. So we wanted to see kind of the full gamut of cases that may not otherwise be newsworthy on their own, but that could illuminate different aspects of how the system is working or isn't working. So Burlington is the busiest courthouse in the state. And in terms of co-reporting it, you know, we needed more than one person to be able to see everything that was going on in 1 week. There are hearings unfolding in three courtrooms most days. And so having multiple reporters there really was the only way we could capture a real sense of everything that was going on.
What was it like getting access to the courthouse? You're in there with your notepads and your recording equipment. There was a photographer there sometimes as well. Derek, was that a smooth process?
Yeah, I mean, the courts are very open to the public. Almost every hearing is, you know, anyone could come in and sit and watch. Just almost nobody ever does. On this particular week, Liam and I and our photographer were the only members of the media who appeared to be in the courthouse at all. There was nothing else that caught anyone's eye. And so often we were the only people in in the courtrooms, aside from defendants and occasionally a few family members, but often nobody there to support the defendant, and often victims aren't there either. So it was at times actually sort of eerie. This was the busiest courthouse in the state, but the courtrooms are often pretty sparse. Yeah, I mean, in addition to that, too, I think we learned quickly while we were reporting the story that some of the most interesting things were actually taking place outside the courtrooms, in the hallways, in the clerk's office. That's where some of the most, I think, moving moments that we saw took place.
Issues in the courthouse seem to fall into kind of two big buckets. Delays that are internal to the judicial system, like the software system that staff has to use or staff turnover, and then external issues, such as the opioid crisis that affects many people who you met who were called into court. Let's start with the former here. How did you see issues with things like the case management system Odyssey and video conferencing delaying court cases, Liam?
Yeah, so the case management system Odyssey went into effect during the pandemic in 2020, and it does. There are some things that it allows that are good, like electronic records, which can be a really useful thing for getting records that are in different counties. So if you're in Chittenden County, you can get the Addison County records more easily. But the system can be kind of clunky, and some of the ways that you enter data or minutes of what's happening in the hearing and filling out the paperwork can be a little bit slow. And we would see this sort of dead time in between each hearing of sometimes 5 minutes where everybody in the courtroom, the judge, the attorneys, defendants who are waiting are just sitting in silence as the judicial assistant who's been taking notes just kind of catches up with what happened in the previous hearing. And so you add all those little 5 minute breaks up, and all of a sudden, things can get kind of slowed down. You might not get through all the hearings that are scheduled for the day. That was something we just saw every single day throughout the week that we were there. So that's one thing that we sort of saw playing out quite a bit.
Yeah. And you also wrote that the judiciary struggles with staff turnover. Do you know what the root causes of those turnover rates are? Why are people leaving?
It's a tough job, especially for the judicial assistants who are there taking notes, making sure all the paperwork is right, and have a really important role in supporting the judicial process. And so I think it's been hard to keep people in those positions, and then it's hard to get people trained up in those positions as well, though the judiciary is trying to increase the number of people that are in those roles.
Hmm. Well, those are some of the internal issues they're dealing with, and there are the more external ones. And to understand those better, you both spent time talking with defendants and their lawyers. One trial in particular ended up at the center of your reporting. Derek, can you tell us about Ashley Richards?
Yeah, sure. Ashley Richards is a woman who is homeless in Burlington, and she was scheduled to have a 2-day trial the week we were in court for what was an assault and robbery case more than 2 years ago. She was accused of robbing a man who, in a wheelchair, who was getting money out of an ATM. She and another woman were sleeping inside the ATM vestibule. But in the interim, I mean, this case had taken over 500 days to finally get to trial. She had missed court numerous times. She had been put in jail twice and then bailed out, including once by an activist group. But she was also continuing to struggle on the streets with substance abuse and homelessness and accrued more than a dozen other charges, mostly for low-level things like retail theft that a lot of people are thinking about. And so it had been really hard to get her cases resolved. And finally, the week we were there, everyone was optimistic that they would have this trial and be able to do it. But as it turned out, it was proved to be a real challenge even to be able to get her to her trial and then to be able to hold a sentencing in her case as well. So I think it really illustrated the ways in which a defendant's life, when they are spiraling or in chaos or so have so much instability going on, that even just carrying out these court hearings itself is a real challenge.
Yeah. Many of the folks that you encountered, like Ashley, are struggling with homelessness and with substance use. Could you speak a little bit more to how those broader problems facing our region, facing the country, are affecting an individual court's ability to move through cases?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, showing up to hearings is a big part of it, but it's beyond that as well, too. I mean, if a defendant is has to be what's called competent to even stand trial. There are state laws around this. And so if somebody's going through a mental health crisis or is under the influence of drugs, they may not even be fit to hold a hearing, even if they do show up. And sometimes sorting out whether somebody is competent to stand trial has also been a source of delays. The state maintains they've improved that particular delay, but as we saw, there are still delays for some people who just struggle to make their appointments. Yeah, we met a man named Michael Doherty who does not have a phone or an address and has memory problems. And it's just been really hard to get him to show up for his hearings. I think he has missed half a dozen so far and has not been able to even get an evaluation scheduled to determine whether he's competent to stand trial.
Whether it be in court or like mental health or like substance abuse counseling or anything of that nature. And it sucks. It really does.
Michael Doherty's situation was not unique. We saw others going through the same thing in the courthouse when we were there. And, you know, we also saw at least one situation where a woman who is homeless in Burlington showed up, but her hearing had been rescheduled for another day in a couple of weeks. And she had no way of knowing because she hadn't gotten word of it. So, you know, it kind of can cut both ways as well. It's not just people not showing up. Sometimes it's, you know, they show up, but their hearing isn't happening then because the court had to reschedule it for, you know, the backlog or an attorney not being present. And then it's kicked out a couple more weeks because of the backlog. And then it can be hard for them to show up to that one. So these problems can all kind of intertwine and compound on each other as well.
Yeah. Well, your story focuses on Chittenden County, which is the state's busiest criminal docket. Does this story reflect what's going on in other parts of the state, or do you feel like it's really specific to Chittenden County?
There are things that are very specific to Chittenden County. I mean, we were only in Chittenden County, so I think we can only speak to the anecdotes that we saw there. But obviously, homelessness in Vermont is been on the rise in recent years since the pandemic. The opioid crisis has become a lot worse in the recent years as well. And those are all things that have been driving issues in other courts. If you look at the data that's available, all around Vermont, courts are struggling with their pending cases and with their older cases as well. There are some, you know, months where the clearance rates are looking better for places, but there hasn't been one month where all the courts in Vermont have had like great clearance rates, where they're getting rid of more cases than they're bringing in. So every county might be struggling with some slightly different variations, but all of them are having trouble getting through the backlog that was accumulated during the pandemic.
Hmm. Well, this story weaves such a fascinating and complex tapestry of what is going on inside this courthouse. Derek, what is one thing, though, that you hope listeners and readers walk away with when they dive into this story?
Yeah, you know, I think it's so easy to have, and it's important to have opinions on some of the policy decisions that go into the administration of justice around whether to hold somebody in prison or whether punishments are harsh enough or not. But I think underneath that, what can get lost in those important debates is the fact that right now, just the pure administration of justice in Vermont is as hard as it has ever been, and it's a really messy process, even carrying out a court case when you have all of these other factors at play, things that are going on in the community and strains on the court system with the volume of cases. And all of that is making the process of carrying out justice and achieving justice so much more complicated right now.
Derek Brower with 7 Days and Liam Elder Connors with Vermont Public, thank you so much for your reporting and for talking us through it today.
You bet.
Thanks, Michaela.